message from the beginning. It never changes. That's what you can count on from our Father's Word. As it was in the beginning, so it shall be in the end. And as it is written in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. I want to pick this up in the great book of Psalms. We're going to take 74, which is the results of not listening to the message. But first to 71 to pick up the message, Psalm 71. In Psalm 71, verse 18, let's read it. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed the strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Same old message. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. And of course, nothing is. It's his message that goes from generation to generation. But in 74, you have what happens when the message is not adhered to by most of the population. This is Mathgil of Ossot, which is to say, the instructor to the collector of the people, and the people should listen. Verse 1, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Question. Of course, he's never going to do that. This is 74, Psalm 74. Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? It doesn't. They allow it to build against them by not paying attention to the message. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. He made an eternal covenant with this place, Mount Zion. He took her to wife, and he intends to set his eternal kingdom in operation on this place. Verse 3, lift up thy feet into the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Excuse me, meaning they've gone right into the temple of God and are teaching different messages other than the original message, the real one, misleading people. And when you look at Zion, Jerusalem, we know that the false one of all false ones is going to stand in the holy place, the temple, claiming to be God. What an abomination. And that being the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, same message, taught over and over, but how many people really listen? That old message, if you don't listen, this is what happens. The enemy goes right into the sanctuary of God. Verse 4, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. That's to say, the very adversary himself. They set up their ensigns for signs, little slogans here and there, one-line slogans, and people say, oh, yes. It's just not written in God's Word. That's what makes difference. It's not the message. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees in building, but at the same time, verse 6, but now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. The enemy destroys the work of God. That is to say, the work of original followers of God. 7. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. That's the temple, the very house itself. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. That is to say, driving Jerusalem into a pit of Satan's own wrath, allowing Satan to play Christ in it as the false Messiah. Same old message from beginning to end. But how many can adhere to it when it's put forth so simple a child can understand? They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. They've taken over most of the churches. by false teaching, by misleading. They drop the old message that has been the same since the beginning of time. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Well, it is true that no one knows exactly how long, but it is not true that we don't have prophets. We've got Isaiah, Ezekiel, the 12 minor prophets. We have all the ones that God has sent us. It is written. The thing is, you want to read it so that you're not pulled away from the word, the message that you've heard from the beginning. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? And standing in the holy place claiming to be God, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you don't have a higher abomination than that. Again, that's the one Daniel spoke of, standing in the holy place where it ought not. Verse 11, why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? Do something, God. Well, he is. He always has. He has his hand on God's election. And the election train themselves. They hang on to that message from generation to generation. That is to say, the remnant, passing it on to the election, and the election standing in this generation of the fig tree. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. That salvation is always there. Be sure you participate in it. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. That's to say, the crocodiles, which refers to Egypt. You handle them. Thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces, that's the jointed one, and givest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness, and the very wild beast itself, and so he does. 15, thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood, thou driest up mighty rivers. And so he does. And of course, the Euphrates in this spiritual sense at the end is what is ever, ever so very important. The message never changes. The message is of old and it is solid. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. What he's saying here, and even though you might have doubts at times, there's never any room for doubt. God actually split the plates of the earth when the Ketubah took place. And in so doing, he shows his power and his might. Man cannot even come close. Man cannot comprehend the power of our Heavenly Father. And do you know something? He aids us. He helps us. He guides us. With what? The same old message. Don't be drawn away from it. The message of old. 17. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. He controls it. That's why that 4 is the number for earth, numerically speaking, because of the 4 directions, the 4 seasons, and so forth. 18, remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. They'll listen to about anything if it sounds religious. But Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. It's everyday life, serving Him, knowing Him, adhering to His word. The message that never changes. The message that's the same from the beginning. 19, O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. That's your elect, the house of Israel. Don't do that. Father. Forget not the congregation of the poor forever. That's to say the humble, those that truly serve you. Don't forget them, God. Verse 20, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Why? Because people do not listen to the message of old. The message of the fact that God is with us. With all His power, with all His strength, He enables us. And so it is. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and the needy praise thy name. That's to say the humble and those that follow him. How beautiful it is. Arise, O God, and plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. And they do. They scoff at him. And you might say, well, who would scoff at God? Well, how many do you hear laugh when you mention his name? They want his name out of the vocabulary. They make light of it. Oh, you're a Christian. And they snuff. God doesn't like it. He pays attention. It's the same old message. The message we've heard from the beginning. People don't change. God doesn't change. But some people grow very confused because of the enemy. They will not listen. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. And you don't have to worry, he won't forget, because he gives us the victory. Now we go to the New Testament. Go to St. John chapter 15. Excuse me. This is where Christ is teaching, saying that he is the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and you're the branches. And if you, as any good husbandman knows, if a fruit gets damaged and isn't producing fruit, what do you do to it? You cut it off. So he says, I want you to produce fruit. It may be just planting a seed with someone. But certainly it is sticking with his message. He loves you, and he wants you to be blessed with his word. And when you are plugged into that vine, which is Christ, and you draw the wisdom and the food and the knowledge from that spiritual plant, then he leads you and directs you and uses you where he needs you. Not where you may think you need to go, but where he needs you. And so it is. So that's what this chapter is about. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. And verse 12 reads, as he continues teaching, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the message. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ did that. You are my friends. I'm not calling you a servant or a slave. You're a friend. This is the living God talking to you through the Son. If you do whatsoever I command you, if you'll listen to the message, if you'll do the message, then that fruit will be easy to produce. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. How? Through the prophets, and through Christ's own teaching, Sermon on the Mount, so forth. It's the same old message. The same message from the garden all the way to the paradise, which is a garden in the last chapter of the great book of Revelation. It's the same old message. And people have such a hard time hanging on to that message to receive the blessings the succulent blessings through Christ by being plugged into the vine, with God feeding you, making you know what He has taught, giving you the ability to ascertain the deeper things, and yet at the same time so simple in the simplicity of His teachings that a child can understand when you're tied into the vine. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, not something passing by forever. For whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. And certainly He will. And does. Okay? And so how precious it is to have our Father's word. Verse 17, these things I command you. This is the message, that you love one another. 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I mean, don't get all bent out of shape about it. If you mention Christ's name and they snuff at you, well, what's different? They did it Him. What makes you so special? What makes you special is that you're a Christ man, a Christian. It makes you special in His eyes. And He's the one on the throne. He's the judge. He's the one that has the final word. It's the same old message. 19 to complete here. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It hates your ways. Why? It goes contrary to what the wicked and the adversary would have you understand. Now, go if you would to John chapter 16. Here comes the message. Verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. This is the message. It's the same old one. Why would you be offended? You've been warned of exactly how it goes down. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And of course, ultimately, this is when you're delivered up to the devil whose name is death. He will not harm a hair on your head, as Luke 21 so declares. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Even though they call themselves religious. 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. Don't forget it. It's the same old message. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask of me, whither goest thou? Why? But they were afraid, of course, and knew they were about to lose him. Verse 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. What he's saying here is you only look at the bad side of things. You only look at what's right in front of you, not the fact that I'm going and I'm going to send you the Comforter. And with the Comforter's aid, we got the victory. We overcome. But how can you be sure of that? It's the message. It's the same message from the beginning of time that our Father continues, that He lets us know, that He protects us. He leads us. He guides us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Okay, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. it's best for you. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And he has. That's the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit. And Emmanuel was God with us. That Spirit touches you. It lifts you. When you're confused about a scripture, when you pray about it, He releases that knowledge and that wisdom to you. What? Not for your own benefit, but so you can be a branch that shares, that takes that and blesses people with it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. And it is, why is it a sin? Well, they can't do anything right if they don't believe on him. They don't have the message. So naturally, they're headed for the pit or of mistakes. Of righteousness in verse 10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. It is only right that I do this for your own benefit. That's why it is righteous. It is right because it gives you power over Satan. It gives you power over evil spirits, even in your own home. That you anoint your home and order anything negative out. That's why you're blessed, because I go. The same old message. When you believe and know and understand, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And with the Holy Spirit with you, he is present with you. Of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. So what are you worried about, Satan? You know, yeah, sure, he performs some pretty nice tricks. But he's judged to death. And you're judged to eternal life. So that's the message from the beginning. Why? Because you love God. And God loves you. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's why it's necessary to learn through the Spirit, unlocking Scripture. Because the Holy Spirit will never bring you anything that will not unlock Scriptures. For in the writing, he has foretold us all things. It's just that we can't understand it yet. But as we need to, he touches your mind and opens it for you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, it's Father's Spirit. It's our Father himself talking to you, guiding you. How can you go wrong? He that divided the seas, he that put everything in the universe in place. I've got some good news for you. He loves you. He may not love what you do always, but he does love you. And he wants to touch you and bring you into that message that has not changed and use you to produce fruit that brings people joy and happiness. It always does, because it gives you eternal life. 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the way the Holy Spirit operates, when you're in tune with him, when it serves his purpose, not yours. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And naturally, Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. 16 to complete. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me because I go to the Father. And it was the greatest gift man could ever receive, that he paid for our sins, bad as they are. On repentance, they're erased. And you are prepared for the kingdom, to receive the word, to produce fruit. Because he loved you enough that he could call you friend. And he died for so that he, being perfect, could forgive all of our sins on proper repentance. Same message that you've heard from the beginning. Go with me now to the epistles of John. 1 John. The first epistle of John, that's the little short book right before the book of Revelation and Jude. Chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. We touched him. Verse 2. They walked with the Savior. They brought the message with him, to him. But it was all the same from... He's not talking about the beginning as Christ was here, but from the very beginning of time, the message is the same. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it. It was manifest in Christ. Manifested, and Christ walked the earth. The Word become flesh and walked among us. And bear witness, says, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. It made itself, God made himself known to little old man. 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the Godhead, beloved. You have fellowship with the full Godhead when you believe. And you know what? It's been that way from the beginning. Don't ever let anyone tempt you into believing something new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. It's that you must search out from Father's Word the knowledge that he gives us in that message from the beginning. 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We want you to be happy. Even in trying times, even in a troubled world, we want you to find that happiness, and you should be. A Christian should be happy. Verse 5, this then is the message which you have heard from of him and declared unto you. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the message from the beginning. What does that mean? You should have no darkness in your life. If you do, you got a problem. You're not totally plugged into that light, into that message. And then, unfortunately, what many people forget is what chapter 3 in this same book has to say about it. Excuse me, and we find that in chapter 3, verse 11. Listen very carefully. It's the same old message. Chapter 3, first epistle of John, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Well, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, of his progeny, meaning the son of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. That's the same old message from the very garden itself, the events that transpired there. Satan trying to prevent the approach not only of Christ, but the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. That's the message from the beginning. It's not pretty that Cain had to be, but yet he is of the night, darkness, and you are of the light. We're speaking spiritually. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Naturally, it's going to, if you don't have that word. So what is that message from the beginning? First prophecy of the old world in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. He speaks to the serpent, Satan, and he says, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. And that's Cain and Abel. And Cain slew Abel. And so it was. Satan's been after God's righteous ever since, trying to deceive them, leading, taking over the synagogues, taking over the churches, taking over the very temple of God. Well, that certainly seems to be a mystery. No, it's written. Shouldn't be any surprise to you. When God tells you something's going down, you can count on it. It's going to happen that way. It shouldn't be a shock to you. But then when you read on further in the book, it's the same message that gives us the victory. That's to say, the humble before God. That's the message. The same old message from the very beginning. It is the Word of God, the testimony of the living God. And why is it that man, through Satan's guidance, must try to change it, alter it? But then, that should be not a mystery to one that studied the Word. Because how did Satan tempt Christ himself in the wilderness as a lesson for you? With Scripture. Took him in the wilderness and quoted Scripture. There's just one problem. Satan knows Scripture better than most Christians. He twisted it 90 degrees to make it a lie instead of truth. So never let Satan lie to you. Always hold the message that was in the beginning. It's the same in the end. There's nothing new under the sun. That goes around, comes around. And God's election, they're not volunteers. They were chosen. Anointed, ordained, and nobody can alter that. It's set in God's own plan. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for that message from the beginning. It makes it a lot easier to understand the ways of the world today when we know and understand the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, Father. We love you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD.